僕の考えだとすごくいいと思いますけど、もともとラーメンってそもそもですけど中国から来てるものですし、それを、ね、日本化したものがラーメンですし、で、そこでまた、ね、アメリカとかでも新しい文化が生まれると、すごくいいと思いますけどね、僕は。
So, I think it's a great idea because originally ramen's from China that went to Japan and got Japanese eyes. So, having it go to like America to have their own mix is just another form of China coming to Japan and having it its own culture. So, just creating a new culture is not a bad idea.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Way of Ramen podcast, and oh boy, do we have a great show for you guys today. On the podcast is Motoki Matsunaga, who runs the Menroku Ramen Group in Japan. That's right, this is the first for the Way of Ramen podcast. We have a true-to-life ramen chef from Japan on the show. Motoki operates five ramen shops, mostly in the Kansai region of Japan. And in addition to that, he also has an amazing YouTube channel called Motoki Ramen Academy, where he's been pumping out tons of ramen recipe videos, all in English. This episode is a little different than others we've done because the interview was done completely in Japanese. Luckily, our friend Backyard Ramen came on the show to help me out with some interpretation, and she did a phenomenal job. You know, Motoki was dropping just like knowledge bombs left and right with every single answer, and Backyard Ramen did a great job translating it true to his words. So you're actually hearing a very, very accurate translation of what he's actually saying. All right, that's enough of me talking. This is a great episode for you guys if you're trying to learn how to make ramen at home. Get a notepad out, take some notes, and let's get right into it. Here is Motoki Matsunaga of the Menroku Ramen Group in Japan. Yeah, so thanks very much for coming on again. Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Yoroshiku onegaishimasu.
Okay, so first of all, could you introduce yourself to everybody who's listening?
じゃあ、初めて、はい、みんなに自己紹介してください。
はい、私は元木と申します。申します。大阪と京都を中心に、ラーメン屋さんを経営してます。今は大阪と京都、兵庫ですね。今は全部で5店舗運営してます。
あ、ちょっと待ってから、はい、あんまり長すぎちゃうと、しづらくなるので。はい、So, hi, my name is Motoki. I am mainly operating in Osaka, Kyoto, and recently Hyogo. We're currently, I have five shops.
で、まあ、いろんな種類のラーメン屋さんを経営してます。鴨のラーメン屋さんは、京都と大阪で経営してます。であと、豚骨ラーメンは兵庫県でやってます。
So, I do a variety of ramen.Mainly in Kyoto and Osaka, it's duck ramen. And then in Hyogo, we serve tonkotsu ramen.
Great, great. Five shops. Yeah, I heard that. That's pretty cool. Did you have a shop overseas? This is like a question off the script, Madoka, but do you have a shop overseas? Because one of the questions that came in from the audience was about a shop in, where was it? Indonesia. So did you have do you have shops in Indonesia as well?
昔、インドネシアにお店を出してました。
Ah.
今はもうすでに売ってます。このお店は。
So, a long time ago, I had a shop in Indonesia, but I sold that shop, so...
Wow, that's incredible. Could you tell us a little bit about how you went about getting into ramen and then opening your first ramen store, ramen shop, and then...You know, continuing on to now five shops.
ラーメン始めたきっかけと、それに続けて、どうして、まあ、店が開いて、どうやって開いたのかなっていうところの質問です。
もともとは、そうですね、フレンチのお店、フレンチ料理のお店で働いてて、まあ、フランス料理の勉強をしてたんですけど、うんもともとは、私のおじが、30店舗ぐらい、ラーメン屋さんを経営してて、 ちいさんの時からラーメン作るのを手伝ったりしてました。
はい、すごいですね。
おじいっておじいさんのおじいが会社
だった。おじいですね。アンクル。
ああ。So, originally I worked in a French restaurant to learn how to do French cooking, but also I had an uncle who operated 30 restaurants. So when I was, ramen restaurants, and when I was small, I used to help him out.
30 restaurants. Could you share the name of some of the restaurants that your uncle owned? Anything in particular?
おじいさんが経営してたあの30店舗はいろいろあるんですけど、その中の名前とか教えられますか？
はい、希望軒。希望軒というラーメン屋さんです。
それは大阪の方なんですか？
そうですね、関西中心です。はい、
じゃあ、おじさんも関西中心という形ですか？
そうですね、はい。
はい。So,one of the shops is called Kiboken. It's in Osaka, Kansai area. So his uncle mainly operated in the Kansai area.
I see. Okay. So you said that the restaurants that you're doing in Kyoto and Osaka are mostly duck ramen. Could you tell us why you chose to focus on making ramen from duck?
ちょっと前にその大阪、京都中心のお店があの鴨中心で作ってラーメンを作っているとおっしゃってたと思いますが、それ何かの理由とかありますか？
そうですね、フレンチの経験が大きいです。フレンチでもあの鴨をよく使ってたりとか、鴨からスープを作っていたので、まあ、そこからヒントを得ました。
So, since I was workingin a French restaurant, and my experience is French-based, there was a lot of situations where I was dealing with duck, so that kind of helped me influence and get into making duck ramen.
I see, なるほど。What are some of the differences between and challenges making duck ramen compared to ramen from maybe 鶏ガラ？
鴨ラーメンと鶏ガラあるんですけど、その鴨と鶏ガラの違いと、その鴨スープの作りの難しさとかありますか？
鴨はもうすべてあの養鶏場の場からもう直送してもらって、すべて自分でこう包丁でさばいてるんですよ。丸ホールの状態で届くので。ですね、まずそこは一つ大変ですね。
So, in the case for duck, we actually get it from the supplier. So we get the whole duck, and the difficulty and the hassle is that we have to cut down the cut, the duck from to get the bones and the meat.
鶏と鴨の違いなんですけど、やはり鴨の方が血の味が濃いので、やっぱりスープを取った時もやっぱりしっかりした濃いスープが取れます。
So duck, actually, its blood is very potent, and when making soup, so a lot of times when you don't do it correctly, it could be kind of strong as a flavor.
I see. How do you go about developing some of the recipes for ramen in your shops?
You're specifically asking for the...
Just the process, the process of making new ramen recipes.
店で新しいラーメンを作るとき、まあ、開発するとき、どういうプロセスを考えて作っているか何かありますか？
そうですね。まあ、僕はなんかそのお店を出して、でまあ、出すまでにレシピは完成するんですけど、まあ、そこで完成ではなくてお客様の反応を見ながらもう本当に1日単位でレシピを変えたりしてます、ね、でその1年前と今のレシピは全然違います。
So, the basic recipe is developed before giving to the restaurant, but the main process is after solidify a basic ramen dish, we give it to the customers and see how they react and then make adjustments accordingly in maybe like 2 or 3 days time. So the ramen that you eat now is completely different from what it was a year ago.
Madoka, can I just say you're like a phenomenal translator? Because I can understand what he's saying, but I could never say it as eloquently as you're saying it. So you're doing a great job. So what are your opinions on what makes a good bowl of ramen?
いいラーメンの定義とは何かありますか？
そうですね。僕がお店で気をつけてることは食材ですかね。やっぱりいい食材使うとやっぱりあまり難しいテクニックとか必要なくて、ですので直接その農家さんに会いに行ったりとかはよくしてますね。はい、鴨の農家さんとも定期的にお会いして、はい、コミュニケーション取ったりしてます。
So one of the main things I focus on and look into is the quality of the ingredients. And I usually go to the actual farms, like the duck farms, to look into the ingredients to make sure that they are top quality.
Oh, I see.
Can I butt in right now?
Yeah, sure.
そのいい食材すると結構単価が上がると思うんです、その食材に対して。はいはい、その辺は経営者としてどう抑えるんですか？
そうですね、まあ、経営の話になるとあれなんですけど、原価がとてもうち高いんですよ。ですので、お店を出すのに全然お金をかけてなくて、もともとあったらラーメン屋さんで潰れた後に入るので、最初の投資が少ないんですよ。
うん、
ですので、もう お金の借り入れとかも少ないので原価をかけたりとか、あと広告宣伝費を使わないとか、その美味しいラーメン自体が広告になるので、そういうことでコストを抑えてやってます。
それで1000円ぐらいで提供できるもんなんですか、鴨ラーメン？
そうですね、今はなんとか頑張ってますけど、はい。
So, the question I asked was, with better ingredients, usually it costs more to make a ramen, but as a business, you actually really need to think about costs when serving something really, really good. So my question was like how he deals with that. So he went around it by actually finding a location where the restaurant went bankrupt. So he just took over that spot and then got a lot of used equipment. Therefore, he lowered the overhead cost of opening a shop. And secondly, he doesn't use any type of marketing. So therefore, he can lower the cost of operating costs and therefore provide better his duck ramen at a reasonable price.
Wow. That's a great question too. Thanks for asking that. Yeah.
もう一つポイントありますね。
はい。
農場から直接食材を仕入れることですね。間の業者が入るとやっぱそこで高くなるので、もう農場から直送してもらうことでまだ安く抑えられています。
So, there's also one more major point, is to actually get it from the source. Obviously, since there's no middleman, so they won't take an extra margin. So from getting from the source, you can lower the costs.
I see.Okay. What are some of the, you kind of asked this question already, but what are some of the challenges about running a ramen shop in Japan?
日本でそのラーメンの店を経営するの難しさとかなんかありますか？何が難しいんですか？
そうですね。やっぱりもう競合店が本当にたくさん多いので、もう毎月のようにもうすごいラーメン、新しいラーメン屋さんができては潰れているので、すごい厳しい業界ではありますね。ですので10年で、9割が潰れると言われています、日本のラーメンは。
So in, especially in Hyoko, there's a lot of ramen shops that open up a lot, so there's a lot of competition. And they even say that within 10 years, 90% of these shops usually close.So that's very hard to operate.
Wow.
あともう一つが、 日本のラーメンはもともとすごい、ね、貧しい時代に作られたものなのであまり高いと売れないんですよ、うんですね、1000円の壁っていうのがあって1000円を超えると売れなくなってしまうのでなかなか単価を上げづらいっていうのがすごく経営してても難しいですね、
この辺東京だと最近
東京はようやく超える、はい、超えてきましたね大阪関西はまだ難しいですね
それは大阪のケッチの精神が入ってるん
ですねおっしゃる通り
わかりましたSo another hard thing about having a ramen shop in Japan, especially in like the Kansai Hyogo area, is that ramen was originally created after the war where everything was very cheap and everyone didn't have any good food. So the prices were relatively low. So especially in Hyogo, it's hard to have ramen that it is charged or that in which you would charge a customer more than 1,000 yen. So...It's hard to even do that. Whereas in Kyoto,Tokyo, it's a little bit more accepted, and you do see ramen that's over 1,000 yen.
1,000 yen is kind of like 10 bucks for a general, you know. Well, is it still 10 bucks? It's like 9 bucks now, right?
It's close. It's right now the conversion is $1 to 112 yen. Okay. So it's like 8.
Really? Wow.
Or 8.90, or it's close to 9 bucks, but.
This is not on the question list, Madoka, but can you ask him, like, I don't know how you would say this. How often do you, or how long does it take for a customer to eat a bowl of ramen and then leave in a Japanese shop?
店でお客さんが入るんですけど、その平均の回転率って大体何分ぐらいなんですか？
そうですね。大体、お昼のサラリーマンとかだと、食べる時間だけで言うと10分、15分とか多いですし、まあ夜とか、まあ、あとファミリーで来てる人だと大体30分以内ですかね。すごい早いと思います。
And how does that compare to... Oh, sorry, you can translate first.
Okay. So, for lunch, on average, a lot of the businessmen, they take about 10 minutes to finish eating, come in and finish eating.But at night, you have a bit more family-oriented people coming in. So they might end up being there for 30 minutes, but still relatively short.
Mm-hmm. And how does that compare to like the overseas shops in Indonesia or other areas?
So, その日本に比較してインドネシア店があったんですけど、インドネシアとはその何分間ぐらいかかるんですか？そのみんな客さんとか食べるの。
そうですね。やっぱり求められているのが全く違うので、まあ、アメリカでも多分そうだと思うんですけど、やっぱりまず食べるのがすごいゆっくりだったりとか、日本のラーメンファーストフードみたいな感じですけど、海外の店はちょっとレストランみたいな感じで、まあ、ドリンク飲みながら、家族でお話ししながら、食べるっていう感じですかね。
はいはい。
So, it's quite similar to America, where ramen is kind of like a restaurant and not a fast food. So people actually spend their time enjoying the food, talking, drinking, eating.
Menu の種類も海外の方が多いと思いますね。日本だと。ラーメンとライスボールとかそれぐらいしかないんですけど、海外だとアルコールの種類も多いですし、あとサイドメニューがすごい豊富だと思います。
So another big difference is the menu itself. In Japan, it's quite limited where you just have maybe a bowl of rice or a couple of bowls of rice and a couple of ramen. Whereas abroad,There are more selections on the menu. There are more side menus as well as varieties of alcohol being served.
I see, I see.
味の違いですけど、日本人は結構熱いスープが好きですけど、海外の人は熱いスープが飲めないのでぬるくしてたりとか、あと麺を日本人はこうってすするけど、 海外の人すれないの、日本人以外はすれないので短い麺にしてたりとか、はい、あとインドネシアの人は油が嫌いだったので、すごい油をちょっと取り除いたりとかはしてました。
インドネシアムスラム系は結構多くないですか？
あ、でも中華系がかなり多い。人口の1割が中華系で、豚がすごい好きなので。
あ、なるほど、はい、
豚の店と鳥の店とやってました。
あ、了解です。So, there's another difference that's the taste and the preferences of the customer. Where Japan, they like their soup to be super hot. The shops abroad, they prefer a little bit more lukewarm because they can't eat hot soup. Another thing was the slurping, where we know Japanese people, they know how to slurp their food. There aren't that many people that actually do slurp their food abroad unless they're Japanese. So one of the things that was implemented was to create shorter noodles so they can eat.
And that's pretty genius. Yeah. You can keep going, Marika.
And so, one thing that was noticed in Indonesia was that they didn't really like a lot of fat. So one of the things that was done was to reduce the amount of fat used. And so he had shops that both served chicken and pork.
I see. In Indonesia, this is off the question list, Monica, but in Indonesia, I heard that there was maybe a large Muslim population.
Oh, yeah.
So did he have like a halal menu and things like that? How do you do halal ramen? Or was he doing a halal ramen?
So, インドネシアで結構、まあ、ムスラム系もいるっていう話ですけど、ハラールラーメンとか作ってましたか、その人に対して。
そうですね、はい。店によって変えてましたね。中華系がターゲット店は豚骨中心で、でイスラム系の人のターゲットの店はもう完全にハラルでやってました。鶏使って、アルコールは一切使わないラーメンを作ってました、
うん、
でそのハラルラーメンの作り方とかこだわりはあるんですか？
そうですね、でも基本的な日本の技術ラーメンのテクニックで応用で作れるのでそこまで難しくなかったです。鶏パイタンとか鶏醤油とかそういったものでハラルの醤油も向こう売ってるのでそこまで難しくはなかったですけど、
ね、Okay. So, in Indonesia, there was two types of shops where he served, chicken and...I don't know. One shop was catered more to Chinese people, another shop was catered to more Muslim people. So in the Chinese shop, he served more pork-based ramen, and for shops that are relatively for Muslim people, where he served halal food. And in that ramen, there was a consideration into not putting any type of alcohol or pork in it. So in terms of making halal,ramen in Indonesia, it's not too hard because a lot of the ingredients are already halal. And so a couple of ramens that was created for that type of clientele were tori paitan or tori shio ramen.
Ah, I see. Okay, so many of the people that listen to the show are very interested in making ramen at home.Could we talk about so each of the components one at a time, and could you share some advice for each component? For example, the tare, the komi abura, soup, noodles, toppings. We can start off with the tare because the tare seems to be, the hardest part about making ramen. What are some tips you can give to someone who is trying to make tare at home?
このポッドキャストで結構家で自作ラーメンっていう文化も配信してるんですけど、ラーメン作るためには5つのなんか要素がよくあるって言われていて、でその要素を作るためのなんかチップとかあれば教えてほしいなっていう気持ちで聞いてるんですけど、最初はタレがあって、でタレはなんか結構一番難しいって言われてるんですけど、そのタレ作るときに注意点とか、まあ チップとかありましたら。
そうですね、僕の動画でも言ってるんですけど、やっぱりうまみを意識することがすごい大切だと思います。うまみが、グルタミン酸と、イノシン酸、この2つをうまく掛け合わせて、でそこに、グルタミン酸、イノシン酸とグアニル酸を足したりとか、このうまみの比率をすごく意識してますね。
その比率は大体なんかあるんですか、黄金って。
そうですね、グルタミン酸とイノシン酸が1対1になると、うまみの総量が7倍に増えると言われています。
So one of the things that I focus on when creating tare is the actual umami that's being placed in there. So looking at how to add glutamate and inosinate.
I don't know how to pronounce that either. Japanese one sounds better. Yeah.
And the gluonate or
guanylate
acid. I told you I don't know how to pronounce English. It's very important to look at the ratios of what you put into your tare. Focus on glutamate and inosinic acid. It's 1-to-1 ratios.
Would you consider the umami components more important than, not more important, but how does the salt content in that play into that, the mix?
タレ作るとき、うまみが重要っておっしゃってましたが、それに対して塩塩分っていうところはどう関係されるんですか？
塩分濃度の話ですかね。
うん、
そうですね、結構ラーメン作るとき何パーセントぐらいの塩分が入れた方が一番おいしいと言われるんですけど、その辺は。
はい、で僕は、返しの塩分を 5%、4% 後半から 5% ぐらいにしてます。
So for me, I make my salinity around 4-5% for my kai dishi. それは、うまみが結構入ってるっていうことだから塩分が抑えられてる。
あ、そうですね、はい。
So since the umami level is much higher, the salinity can be dropped down quite a bit. So that's why it's probably 4-5%.
I see. Does he have like a ratio for tare to soup with the 5% 塩分tare?
そのタレとスープの割合とかあるんですか？
大体いつも、スープが、ちょっとラーメンによって変わるんですけど、250cc から 300cc。で、返しは大体 50cc から 55cc ぐらいですね。
なるほど。
So, タレは50から55ですか？
はい。5cc。
So, for the soup, I generally put 250 to 300cc, so about milliliters. For tare, it'sOn average, between 50 to 55 cc, so about milliliters as well.
I see. Okay, that's some pretty good tips. What about the soup making process, like as far as the best way to extract flavor from bones or things like that?
さっきのチップすごく非常に参考になりました。ありがとうございます。次はスープの話なんですけど、その骨からうまく味を、うまみを抽出するコツとかあるんですか？
そうですね、骨の種類にもよってだいぶ変わって、豚骨と鶏でも全然違うんですけど、そうですね、日本の場合だと割となんかいい食材が手に入りやすいので、割と臭みとか気にしなくてもいいんですけど、インドネシアとかだといかに臭みを抜くかですごい注意してましたね。あと温度もすごく、先に翻訳してもらいますか。
So for soups. It kind of depends on the type of bones you use. Chicken and pork and beef, they all have different, it's quite different. But in general, Japan, they have good ingredients, so it's not that hard. But in the case of abroad, a lot of the times the bones can be make the soup very smelly. So that's one of the things that needs to be considered and looked after. Another big thing is to look at the temperature when making your soup.
That does it. あと、まあ、温度も非常に重要ですけど、この鶏のチンタンスープだと、やっぱり温度がすごく重要になってくるので、まあ、その透き通ってるけど、すごい強い旨味を抽出するためには、すごい90度ぐらいで6時間煮込んだりとか、で、ずっと常に温度を測ったりとか、そういうことはしてますね。
So...A good example where the temperature is very important is for chintan soup. In order to get the very clear soup, it's important to be to cook the soup around 90 degrees Celsius for about 6 hours.
I see. That's good stuff already. That's a really good tip.
ございます。いいね、その tip.
Okay, let's talk about, well, what about the komiyabura? Is there any tips about for that? And like, what is it? Is there any ways to, or I guess just general tips? And then if you could ask how do you match, what's the best way to match komiyabura with soup and tare?
次は komiyabura の件に質問なんですけど、what was it? General tips, right?
Yeah, general tips first. Yeah.
その、まあ、コミ油作る時のチップとかありますか？
コミ油、そうですね。その麺をこう持ち上げた時に、こう油の膜があって麺を上げるとその油が麺にこうくっついていくので、やっぱり麺を食べた時とかでも。すごい香りとか、テクスチャーとかが全然変わってくるのですごい重要なポイントですね、香味油も。で、はい、あ、一度お願いします。
あ、すみません。one of the major things about 香味油 is, aroma oil is when you make it, it's important for the oil to stick to your noodles as you lift it, because that's where you get the fragrance.And the flavors of the oil to match with the noodles and soup.
そうで、コミ油のポイントは、まあ、僕の場合だと食材に合わせて、コミ油を変えたりしてます。まあ、鶏のラーメンだと、まあ、ネギのコミ油を使ったりとか、まあ、鴨だと、オレンジのコミ油を使ったりとか、食材に合わせて合う
So, when making aroma oil, I look into the how to match the ingredients. So, in the case of chicken, we create a oil that has negi or green onions, or regular onions, or no, green onions. And then for duck, maybe orange oil since it matches. Okay. And then So basically, it's really important to match the oil with the ingredient that's being used.
Orange oil as in like oranges?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, wow. It's like very French inspired kind of oil. Wow. It's pretty cool. As far as matching the types of noodles to the soup, what's the best way to approach that?
今度は麺の件なんですけど、そのスープと麺っていう相性があって、それをどう取り込めばいいか知りたいんですけど。
ですね。まあ、ですね。いろいろ麺もすごい種類がたくさんあるんですけど、まあ、まず細さであったりとか、あと加水率はよく日本で意識されてます。
うん。
で 40% ぐらいだと、高水面と言われて、うん、はい、で30% だと低下水面と言われているので、はい、その細さであったりとか形であったりとか加水率を変えてスープに相性のいいラーメンを作ってます。
はいはい。
So the general idea behind noodles is the thickness, the hydration, and the shape. And depending on that, how it works with the soup. For hydration, you can have low hydration from 30% to hydration in the high 40s.
Wow. Great stuff. And what is there like a general rule for like high hydration works better for this type of soup and then low hydration works better for this type of soup? Or I guess, how do you choose?
麺を決めるときには、なんか、なんだろう。一般的なルールとかあるんですか？その、麺の種類に対してこういうスープがいいか。は
いはい、まあ、昔からあるラーメン屋とか、そのローカルラーメンとかだと、もう、こういった麺っていうルールはあるんですけど、最近のラーメンだとあまりそういったルールはないですけど、その作る人の好みというか、全然醤油ラーメンでも低下水の人もいれば高水の人もいますし、自分がどういうラーメンを出したいかとか、どういう麺を合わせたいかに決めてます、ね、最近は。
I see, I see.
So, if it's old school ramen, there's a lot of like,rules, but it's more like rules that was already set from the old fashioned way, where you have probably low hydration with like tonkotsu ramen and stuff. But with current ramen shops, there are no rules, so you do see people who create maybe a low hydration for a shoyu ramen and vice versa. So it kind of depends on what type of bowl you're going at.
I see. Oh, that's great stuff. Good to know that I don't need to stick to any rules for noodles.
I keep it up at this. I'm not as just put any dice to Korea to Korea. I'm not like people.
So many people, so a lot of the Japanese ingredients are pretty hard to get outside of Japan, such as niboshi.Or kombu or things like that. Is there anything that people outside of Japan could use to substitute for these kinds of ingredients?
要はその食材に対して結構日本で豊富なんですけど、海外だとその海外の自作ラーメンのシェフたちが手に入れないことがあるんですね。例えば昆布とか煮干し、特に質とかその質があんまり良くないんですけど、それに対してなんか柵とかあるんですか？
そうですね。一度自分の YouTube でも紹介したんですけど、まあ、例えば昆布の代わりは、まあ、昆布は、何でしょう、グルタミン酸を多く含んでいるので、代わりにグルタミン酸を多く含んでいるドライトマトを使用したり、あとは、鰹節はイノシン酸を多く含んでるんですけど、鰹節の代わりにビーフジャーキーを使ったりとか、みりんの代わりに、みりんはまあ甘さを引き出すために使ってるんですけど、みりんの代わりは、コーラを使ったりとか、はい、それでも、はい、美味しくラーメンは作れると思います。
煮干しの場合どうなんですか？
煮干しもやはりイノシン酸なので、まあ、ビーフジャーキーでもいいですし、何かその動物性の乾燥したものだと代用できると思います。多分煮干しの風味ってなると、ちょっと難しいですね。旨味は抽出できますけど。
So, I mentioned this on my YouTube channel where I introduced certain ingredients to replace Japanese ingredients. So one was kombu. So kombu is glutamate. So one of the things that can be used is dried tomato. The other one would be katsuo. And katsuo is, katsuobushi is, you know, inoshini.
Everybody knows what you're talking about when you say it, yeah.
And so a suggestion would I was that was given was beef jerky. In terms of niboshi, it's similar. So you could use beef jerky or any type of dried animal to get that type of umami acid out. In terms of trying to get the fragrance, that's a bit harder. But if you just want the umami, you could just use like any type of meat jerky or meat products. And then in terms for meating, you can use Coke, because meating is basically to bring out the sweetness in the tare.
Yeah, I actually watched that video. I just wanted him to explain it on the show.
YouTube video 見たんですけど、今回のポッドキャストに説明してほしかった。
So let's talk about your YouTube channel. You have a great channel called Motoki Ramen Academy, where you're teaching people how to make ramen at home. What was your reason for starting the channel?
YouTube チャンネルの方に話を進めたいと思います。で、YouTube で Motoki Ramen Academy っていうものがあるんですけど、それは結構いろいろいい情報が入ってて、それを始めたきっかけとか教えてもらえますか？
そうですね、YouTube を始めた理由が、その、英語を使って、まあ、私も英語すごい苦手で、たくさんなんですけど、まあ、それでも英語で発信しようとする日本人が全くいなかったので、海外の人、まあ、海外の友人とかもいますけど、その、ラーメン情報が全くないって言ってるんで、すごいそういった需要もあるかなと思ったりとか、あとまあ、やっぱり、海外では間違ってる情報が溢れてたりするので、まあ、日本人でしか発信できないような情報をちょっと発信してみたいなと思ったので始めました。
I see.
So, I started the channel because I wanted to be able to share the ramen knowledge in English to people abroad.Because there was a need and misinformation about ramen abroad, so I started the channel, even though my English is not very good.
So on your YouTube channel, you've done some videos where you're recreating restaurants' ramen, such as Ichidan. What is your process to figure out how they make their ramen and then how to recreate it at home?
YouTube チャンネルで、そのコピーキャットレシピとか紹介してるんですけど、最近出たの一覧だと思いますが、その場合はどうやってそのコピーキャットレシピを作れるんですか？
そうですね、まあ、一覧はもう何回か食べたことは昔から食べてるんで、大体背骨使ってるだろうなとか、基本的なことは、豚骨ラーメンで結構、どんな骨使ってるか食べたら僕は割とすぐ分かっちゃうんで、そこまで難しくなかったですね。
So, for Ichiran, I've eaten at the restaurant a bit, so it's not that hard to figure out what the basic soup would require, but in terms for me, I generally can figure out how the soup or what type of ingredients is being used in the soup. So,
wow.
アップするんですけど、ピクドちょっと難しかったですね。豚骨以外のものが入っていたので、クリーミーさ、ピクドのクリーミーさを出すのがすごく難しくて、でまあ、牛の骨とか鶏とか。ミルクとか入れてみたけど、すべて違って、で、いろいろ試した結果、豆乳が入っていることが分かりますね、一風堂には。
So, tomorrow, I'm actually going to release a video recipe for 一風堂, and 一風堂 actually took quite a bit of time to figure out, to get that creaminess. Try different types of bones, like pork, beef, chicken, but couldn't get close to it.Later on, found out that it actually uses soy milk to get that creaminess. ちなみにこれどのぐらい時間かかったですか？
一風堂ですか？
はい。
一風堂、そうですね。でも、食べに行ったりとか合わせ でも1ヶ月ぐらいですかね。まあ、常に開発してるわけじゃないんですけど、まあ、1ヶ月前に食べに行ったりとか、作ってみたけど、ちょっと失敗したりとか、はい。トータルで1ヶ月ぐらい。
これ、作るときは、何人分でいつも開発をなんか作ってるんですか？
大体2、3人前ですね。
うん、なるほどね。So for Ippudo, I asked how long it took him for Ippudo to figure out the recipe. And so it took him about 1 month, but from going to the restaurant, eating a couple times to actually making the recipe. And I also asked how many servings does he usually make when trying to figure out a recipe. And in general, he makes about 2 or 3 servings.
How did he find out the soy milk was an ingredient in the Ippudo ramen? Was it something that he asked or he just could taste it? Was it through tasting?
その Ippudo で豆乳入ってると気づいたって言われましたが、それどうやって分かったんですか？
いろいろ試して行き詰まった時に、Ippudo のウェブサイト見てみたら、絹ごし豚骨って書いてたんですよ。で、絹ごし豆腐にしか使わないじゃないですか、日本語で。絹ごし豚骨ってちょっと表現としておかしいなって思って、そこからもしかしたら豆乳かなって思って入れてみたら、はい、もう一時再現できました。
あ、
その豆乳は、まあ、ビデオで出ると思うけど、スープの方に入れてるんですか、タレの方なんですか？
スープですね。
スープか、
はい、
スープだと高温度だったら固まらないんですか、豆乳？
あ、調整豆乳だと固まりにくいです。
ああ、なるほど。
Okay, so I figured out soy milk by going to the website because I was kind of stuck. And then so when I went to the website, Ippudo had a description where it said Kinubushi Tokotsu Ramen. And technically you wouldn't name a ramen with that term because it is something that's used to create tofu or soy milk. So that's where I figured out that maybe they use soy milk and tried it out and I got it. So the soy milk is put into the soup, not in the tare. And the reason why it doesn't clump is because kinubushi is one of those things that doesn't clump in hot water.
Yeah.調整豆乳って英語でなんていうか。What do you say that in English? 調整豆乳。
でしょ？
I tried to look that up too. There's no like good translation for that. Like, what's the equivalent of that in America, you think?
Non-processed? I don't know.
Okay, we'll try to figure it out. Let's see. So, where was I? So many foreigners, people outside of Japan, seems to be only really familiar with tonkotsu ramen, as far as it, just in the States, in the United States mostly, and in Europe. Other styles of ramen, such as shoyu and shio, are not quite as popular yet. And as a ramen chef, why do you think this is the case?
海外だと結構tonkotsu ramenが人気があって、みんな…がその豚骨ラーメンとか自作ラーメンとして作ってるんですけど、塩ラーメンとか醤油ラーメンそこまで人気が出てなくて、なぜだと思いますか？
でしょうね、海外で。もう日本も結構そのトレンドというのがあるんですけど、ラーメンでも昔は豚骨がすごいブームだったりとか、鶏白湯のブームがあったりとか、今は圧倒的に鶏の醤油ですね、鶏のチンタンが流行ってたりするんで、もしかしたら海外でもそういう流れが、豚骨、まあ今豚骨すごいブームだと思いますけど、またなんか鶏チンタンブームとか来るのかもしれないです
ね。So, in Japan, it goes through different trends.So before, it might have been tonkotsu. Right now, what's really popular is tori chintan soup. Previously, it might have been tori paitan. So it's just a cycle. So perhaps in the future, abroad, they might actually start shifting from tonkotsu to shio or shoyu ramen.
I see. All right. Let's get into some listener questions. So I put it out on Instagram that we're going to be having this interview, and a lot of people sent in questions. So I'd like to ask some of those questions now.
これからそのリスナーからの質問なんですけど、そのインスタグラムで質問を集計していて、これから質問したいと思います。
はい、okay, so, let's see. Some of these we already answered, so I'm just going to kind of skip through them. It's not going to be exactly in the list. Okay, so Royal Ramen asks, do you have any advice for people making ramen outside of Japan? Just general advice.
ロイヤルラーメンからの質問ですけど、その、ちょっ
と、Do you have any advice for people making ramen outside of Japan? Second one. Just general advice. Yeah.
海外で自作ラーメン作ってるのアドバイスとかありますか？なんか一般的なアドバイス。
そうですね。よく来る質問で、スープ作ってみたけど臭いっていう質問がすごいんで、臭みの取り方がすごく重要なのかなと思いますね。一回下茹でをしたりとか、一晩水に漬け込んだりとか、そういうプロセスで臭みが取れると思うんで、はい、そこが大事だと思います、まずは。
So, a lot of questions or issues that I get. これ YouTube からの質問っていうことですか？
そうですね。YouTube はコメントで多いですね。
Right. So, I get a lot of comments on my YouTube videos about the soup being kind of smelly. So, my advice would be to maybe put the bones in water.To get rid of the smell or blanch the bones first to get rid of that smell as well. So that's quite important.
Yeah, it seems, yeah, that's good stuff. So, next question Ryan Wants Ramen asks, what is your interpretation? And I think he means, what is your opinion of westernized ramen outside of Japan and also ramen in Japan for tourists that is made for tourists?
Westernized ramen. そのラーメンの何だろう、欧米化されてるって感じかな。海外っぽいラーメン、海外では提供してるんですけど、それのどう思っているか、あと日本でその海外向けでわざわざ調整してるラーメンっていうところの辺はどう思われてるかって。
僕の考えだとすごくいいと思いますけど、もともとラーメンってそもそもなんですけど、中国から来てるものですし、それを、ね、日本化したものがラーメンですし、でそこでまた、ね、アメリカとかでも新しい文化が生まれると、すごくいいと思いますけどね、僕は。
So, I think it's a great idea, because originally, ramen's from China that went to Japan and got Japanese eyes.So having it go to like America to have their own mix is just another form of China coming to Japan and having it its own culture. So just creating a new culture is not a bad idea.
I see. Yeah, that's a good answer. Ramen Addict asks, do you eat ramen every day?
Oh, yeah. 1週間に4、5回
重すぎるんですか？
はい、
重すぎるんですか？なぜ毎日食べないですか？
太りますね。太っちゃいます。
塩ラーメンでも醤油ラーメンで
も、そうですね、炭水化物ばかりだと、はい。でもまあ週に4、5回以上は食べてます。
So, no, he doesn't because it makes him fatBut does eat ramen about 4 or 5 times a week.
Yes.
Okay.
Preston Coleman asks or says, I love your videos, but in all of your videos, you seem to use a pressure cooker. Is there any alternatives?
Don't.次の質問は、was it Preston?
Preston Coleman.
Preston Coleman. 彼が元木さんのビデオ大好きなんですけど、そのビデオ見ると結構圧力鍋を使っていて、それをそれ以外のラーメンの作り方とかありますか？
そうですね、まあ圧力鍋使わない場合だとちょっとすごく時間がかかっちゃうので僕は使ってるんですけど、だいたい代わりに圧力鍋使わないんでしたら6時間7時間とか弱火で煮込んでもらうと同じようには作れる。
店は圧力鍋使ってるんですか？
いや、店は使ってないですね。すごい大きな鍋なんで。
でも、ビデオをやった理由は、その相手がより簡単に作れるように。
そうですね。でも、すごい大きい圧力鍋使うお店もありますよ。
はい。
はい、
So, another way to make soup without the pressure cooker is to boil it in low temperature to 6 to 7 hours, but since it takes quite a much time and effort, the video was created to create some ease. Therefore, the pressure cooker was being used for the video. At the shop, there's no pressure cooker, but there are some shops in Japan where the owner does use a huge industrial pressure cooker for the ramen soup.
Is there any differences in flavor using a pressure cooker versus not using a pressure cooker?
圧力鍋使うとその味の違いとかあるんですか？
そうですね。圧力鍋は基本的に豚骨ラーメンとかパイタンにしか使わないんですけど、
So for tonkotsu and paitan, pressure cookers are generally used for tonkotsu and paitan soup, and they say there is a difference, but who knows?
Let's see. Next question is from Skulchin. I'm going to skip his first question, by the way, because we kind of answered it earlier. And
okay.
But what is the name? What is the name of your cat, and how old is he, she, slash she?
次の質問は猫のことなんですけど、後ろでうろちょろしてるの猫の名前と年教えてください。
大きい方がブルーノっていう名前。で
ブルーノマウスのブルーノ。
変化してる。
ブルーノは1歳半。
Speaking of the cats.
So the bigger cat is named Bruno, and he's about 1.5 years old. So he has two?
Yeah, I think he has two.
彼の名前がワビ。ワビノスケ。
So the other cat's name is Wabi no Suke. And 何歳ですか?
まだ3ヶ月です。
3ヶ月。So he's 3 months old.
I see. Okay, next question. This question is from Nama Japan TV, another YouTuber in Japan. What do you think about making ramen soup with minced meat?
次の質問は生ジャパン TV って彼も YouTuber、日本でいる YouTuber なんですけど、そのラーメンスープを作るときにひき肉使うことはどう思われていますか？
どういった用途で使ってるんですかね。ちょっとわかんないんですけど。
もしかしてスープ、なんか肉代わり、よくあるじゃん、チンタンで丸ごと鶏とか。肉を入れるじゃないですか。
はいはいはい。
その肉の代わりに豚の場合はひき肉使ったらどうかとか。
まあそれもいいと思いますけど、ちょっと豚とはまた豚の骨とかとは違いますね。ただスープをもう少し透き通らせるためにミンチ入れる人もいますね。ミンチ入れるとスープが透き通るので。
So.Using minced meat actually gives you different flavors from bones, but it is possible to do that. It helps create a clear broth if you were to use it. Mm-hmm. So there are some shops that do that type of method.
I see. Okay. I'm going to change this question a little bit. It's from IRDVL. I don't know if there's a way to read that. I'm not even going to try. IRDVL. Does Osaka, and let's just change it to Hyogo, you know, does have its own style of ramen?
Okay. Do you want to cover both or just one?
Just Osaka. I think Hyogo, just in general. Or you mean Osaka or Kyoto or anything, is there specific styles of ramen in that area that's kind of like the known for, you know, like how, you know, like Hakata is known for tonkotsu and miso ramen in Hokkaido. Is there like a specific style of ramen in this area?
Okay. So, 次はそのスタイルの話なんですけど、大阪とか兵庫とか、まあ、そのいろいろな場所、地域によって、そのスタイルが、違いスタイルがありますか?
ラーメンの、そうですね。まあやっぱり、ご当地ラーメンって言っても本当に日本で各都道府県に一つローカルラーメンがあるんですけど、大阪は高いだけっていうラーメンだったりするんですけど、高いだけ?高い井戸に半モーターで高いだけ。高いだけラーメン。初めて聞いた。
You're looking it up.
<笑>あ、すいません。これは大阪のご当地ラーメンで、結構濃い、なんかちょっと黒いスープ、黒い醤油スープが特徴のラーメンで。あ、秘密の県民賞出たやつですか?あ、出たかもしれないですね。なんか分厚い太麺で、醤油ラーメンで、なんか、ネギがちょっと。
チンタンスープは1時間か2時間だけで作られてるやつ。はい。詳しいですね。
She also makes ramen.
So Japan has a lot of regional ramens. One very popular and well-known ramen style in Osaka is called Takaike ramen. So it's known for its very dark black soup, which is shoyu base with very thick noodles. So it's a chintan soup with thick noodles.
I see. Okay. This question is from JNM Stewart. How do you deal with the evaporation of soup over the course of a day? And I think he's talking about at the shop.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
次の質問なんですけど、そのスープの蒸発に対して、丸1日店であると蒸発するんですけど、それどう対応すればいいかっていう、どう対応してるか知りたいです。そうですね。蒸発するともちろん水を足すんですけど、それによって濃度が変わってきたりするんで、店によっては濃度計っていうものを使ったりとか、あとはそのメジャーで、
上から何センチとか、センチ的に水を足すとか、そういうふうにやってますので。水を追加すると味変されるんですけど、その味変に対してどう対応してるんですか?そうですね。水を入れると、水を入れた直後だと、元の位置に戻しただけでも水っぽくなっちゃうんですよ。
ですので、もう仕上げる20分前とかに水を入れ、ちょっと多めに入れるんですよ。で、多めに入れて、で、煮詰めて元の位置に戻して完成させるんですよ。だから。So
one of the things is to add water into the soup. But when you add water, you kind of change the concentration of the soup and it's important to use the refractometer, the little thing that everyone's talking about, to measure the soup. The other one is to actually look at the measurement of where the soup was and add the soup and boil it. Like, was it 1時間前ですか?
その、大体…
まあ、関係ないか。その、その位置による。
そうですね。はい。
So it's to boil the soup where you add water and then you look at where it evaporates of where before you added the water to make sure that you get the same concentration.
I see.
I'm not sure if that answers the question though.
I think it does.
It does, okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's go down. Let's kind of skip towards the end here. So Bali Rati Body Shop asks, is there any chance of reopening ramen-ya in Surabaya, Indonesia? Honto ni tabetai, he says.
Bali ni iru hito to omoimasu ga, Indonesia no mise wo mada mou ikkai saikai surukoto ga arimasu ka?
この質問はうちの元スタッフかもしれないです今のところはあまり考えてないです。海外に出さないですかとか言われますけど、海外に直接自分が出すよりは、その YouTube で発信した方が、なんか多くの人にラーメン食べてもらえると思うので、英語で発信することで、今はそっちに力を入れてます。
So, I'm not really looking into opening shops abroad too much. Instead of opening shops to reach customers, I figured using YouTube is a better tool to get people to enjoy better ramen.
Yeah, see.
In English, that's important.
In English. So, this, let's do the last question at the bottom. I highlighted it because I think it's a really interesting question. So, Ramen Craft asks, what is your take on using MSG and how do ramen chefs in Japan view MSG?
Is this the last question then?
Yeah, we're going to do the last question for this. So I'm going to kind of finish up after this.
Yeah. Okay. So, リスナーからの最後の質問なんですけど、ラーメンクラフトからその味の素 MSG に対しての質問ですが、どう思われますか？あと、他のラーメンの店主とかどうその味の素どう思われているんですか？
結構人によって考えは違いますね。有名で行列できてる店でも意外と MSG 使ってたりしますし、僕の店では一切使わないようにはしてるんですけど、まあその方がやっぱり安心して食べれる人も多いかなと思ってるんで、あとやっぱり MSG を使わない方が僕は美味しいと思うので、そのやっぱり昆布とか、まあ同じ MSG もグルタミンなんですけど、やっぱり同じグルタミンでも昆布から取った方が僕は美味しくラーメンが作れると思ってます。
So, 私は、あれが意外と美味しかった。酵母？母の酵母だっけ？
あ、酵母。
酵母を使ったんですけど、超美味しかったです
。ああ、はいはい。ああ、いいですね、酵
母。高いけど。So, MSG is kind of depends on the ramen chef. So you do see a lot of ramen restaurants that are really popular who do use ramen chefs. You have other people who don't at like Gion Duck Ramen or other shops that are being operated by Motoki. MSG isn't used because personally he thinks that the ramen tastes better from getting it from kombu naturally instead of using MSG.
Is it strictly like a flavor? Like he thinks it tastes better or it's not really like he thinks it's dangerous or anything? Like in America, a lot of people think it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. But it's not that. Is it that? It's not because of that, is it? Or you can ask him again.
その味の素って単純に美味しいからその普通に取った方が美味しいから使わないか、そのよくアメリカとか海外だと体に悪いっていう印象があるので、そういうところもあるんですか？
そうですね。やっぱり日本でも少なからずそういう人はいますし、はい、でも僕はどっちかというと美味しいから美味しいものを追求したらやっぱりノン MSG が正解だと思ってるので、はい。
So yeah, even Japan, there's some people who think MSG is really bad for you. So there is that type of issue, but personally, it just tastes better without MSG for him.
I see. なるほど. All right, last few questions. So it's just a fun one. What is your favorite food besides ramen?
別のラーメンの話じゃないんですけど、ラーメン以外好きな食べ物なんですか？
そうですね。何かな。まあやっぱり寿司とか普通に好きです。寿司。うん、あとまあワインよく飲むので、まあ、ワインに合う。まあ、やっぱフレンチで働いてたり、フレンチの店とかはよく行きますね。
うん。
So, likes sushi and drinking wine, so obviously foods that match wine, like French food.
What is the best wine for eating ramen, to eat with ramen?
Ramen と一番相性がいい。ワインで一番相性いいラーメンは何ですか？カモラーメン。
ワインに相性がいいラーメン。
はい。
あまり一緒に飲んだことないですけど、何でしょう。でも豚骨とか、ね、濃厚なスープは赤ワインにも合うかなと思います。うん、
Maybe red wine would work with 豚骨, but、mm-hmm. really tried it.
I see. Okay, I think that's.Pretty much all the questions we have. We went kind of long. I just want to say thank you so much. 今日は本当にありがとうございます。
It was
very fun. すごく楽しかったです。Could you please tell everybody where they can find you online and also your shops that they can go visit you when they go to Japan?
最後にその皆さんにどうやってその元木さんを探せること、探せるかと教えてください。あと、もし、紹介したければ店も紹介してください。
そうですね。海外の人だと京都の店が一番行きやすいと思うんで、ギヨンダックヌードルスっていう店、僕の YouTube の概要欄にも貼ってますんで、ぜひ来てください。
So, for foreigners who are visiting Japan, possibly go to the Kyoto, a restaurant. If youIt's called Gion Duck Noodle. So if you look into the YouTube channel or the videos in the YouTube channel, Motoki's Ramen Academy, the link is on the description. Just to click there.
All right. Well, everybody check them out. Thank you again so much. And I think that's pretty much it for today. That's all we have.
今日はありがとうございます。
ありがとうございます。
ありがとうございます。
楽しかったです。
Thank you so much again to Motoki for coming on the show. This was a pretty incredible experience for me to talk to, you know, like a real ramen chef from Japan. Please give him a follow on Instagram. His username is @Motoki_ramen. Tell him that you listened to the show. Tell him that you love what he said. And also, please subscribe to his YouTube channel. It's great. Motoki Ramen Academy. You can just search on YouTube and you'll be able to find it. He does all of his videos in English, so you'll be able to understand even if you don't speak Japanese. He's really doing a great job.If you're going to Japan, why don't you go and stop by one of his ramen shops in the Kansai area? The one that he recommends people go to is called Gion Duck Noodles in the Gion District of Kyoto. And if you go there, you might be able to meet him in person and watch him make your ramen for you. Thank you also so much to Backyard Ramen for coming on the show and doing just a phenomenal job interpreting. I had originally intended on kind of just struggling through this interview with my terrible Japanese, but she came on and really saved the day.And created an environment for Motoki where he could speak freely and comfortably and not have to worry about dumbing down his answers at all. So please give her a follow as well on Instagram. It's @backyardramen. And thank her for doing this interview. You know, we want her to come back on and help us with future Japanese ramen chefs as well. As always, you can follow me on Instagram @wayoframen. Let me know what you guys think about this show and just what you want to see on the podcast in general. If you guys want to hear a specific person on the show,feel free to hit me up there as well. You can also watch my progress as I learn how to make ramen. I'm not an expert or anything. I'm still learning a lot. Just had a big failure today. But my YouTube channel is The Way of Ramen. If you just search on YouTube, you'll be able to find it. And that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening. I really do appreciate it. And I'll see you all in the next episode. Peace.